Hi, welcome to Cuba Today. I am Cristina Escobar and you're listening to Radio Havana Cuba, and I'm talking to you from my home in Havana. You might hear some background noise of my baby girl demanding some attention, or of a street vendors always part of any Havana morning. Sorry about that. In this show, we will learn together about what's going on in Cuba and make sense of it. We have less than 8 minutes, so please, bear with me. Can you imagine an economy in which four different currencies coexist, where the exchange rate is not the same for enterprises and individuals? An economy that is forced to function bypassing all sorts of traps enforced by the wealthiest country in the world that has, as its priority, to see you fail? And then, on top of that, because the big guy bullies the economy, the major lenders do not give you any money because they're afraid of the big guy? Well, people, this economy does exist and it is quite tricky to even understand how it functions. Yes, we're talking about Cuba, a country that just announced the date on which a huge program of economic reforms will start. This is quite hard to follow, even for me, who lives here and is directly affected by what's going on, but I'll go slowly. Let's start at the beginning. Four currencies. Every Cuban deal on a daily basis with two. The Cuban peso, the historic currency, the one in which the majority of salaries are paid, and the CUC, a currency that was almost paired with the US dollar. State enterprises had those two already mentioned, and also used hard currencies, and another thing called the liquidity coefficient, CL. If you, as an enterprise, made as revenue 100 euros, for example, the state gave you back a percentage of that, and that was the CL. The rest was given to enterprises converted into CUC with an exchange rate of 1-to-1. So this meant that the Cuban state-run enterprise had an artificially low exchange rate where one CUC or one peso was the same as $1. This created tremendous distortions in the economy. One of the consequences was that those that imported goods fared better than those that struggled to export, just to name one. So now, finally, all of these will be put into order, kind of similar to how it works in the rest of the world. The government has been saying for some time that this will be done eventually, but now it is a reality. President Miguel Díaz-Canel made the announcement on national television, flanked by the first secretary of the Communist Party and Army General Raúl Castro. The issue that seems more noticeable is the elimination of the dual currency system and the unification of the exchange rates between the state-run sector and the population. The peso, which has been artificially set at parity with the US dollar for decades in the Cuban enterprises, will be valued at 24 Cuban pesos to the dollar from January 1st. The CUC will now be eliminated, and this will be the situation for everyone. People will have 6 months to exchange all the CUC they have into Cuban pesos, and those bank accounts in CUC will be automatically changed by the bank. The man doing the hard work, who has been leading a team of people in charge of this plan, is former Minister of Economy Marino Murillo, now offering daily television appearances to explain what's going to happen with the currencies, prices, pension, and our salaries, and how and why this will be better for the economy. Murillo, also a party political bureau member and head of the Policy Guidelines Implementation Commission, has explained several times that this move is transversal to the entire economy. It entails many things. This reordering includes monetary and exchange rate unification, the elimination of unwarranted subsidies and the provision of some goods and services, as well as transformation of salaries and prices. Why was this such a big problem? Well, Murillo explained on national television that Cuba lives in a very difficult monetary environment, which prevents the economy from functioning naturally. It creates deformations in the establishment of prices because market signals do not reach producers. Also, serious salary problems and an overall inefficiency in the enterprise system. There has not been a proper incentive to export, essential to securing hard currency, and many, many other problems that now should be partially solved by this monetary restructuring process. As the economic system is a system, you can't move one piece of the puzzle without affecting the rest. That's why all of this must be done at once. For the Cuban people, the worker, my family, everyone, it will mean that the CUC no longer exists and everything will be paid for in Cuban pesos, with the exception of some stores where products are sold in hard currency. A measure adopted a few months ago was a solution to this serious scarcity of hard currency in the context of a severe global economic crisis. It will also mean that the Cuban peso will have a lower value, a devaluation that entails that prices will go up significantly. And although the government has taken many measures to tackle inflation, it remains a big risk. Murillo has acknowledged this. He said that the challenge was to ensure that price increases do not exceed the design wage increases, since that would be inflation beyond the design. That offered some hope, but we will have to wait and see how the economy adjusts to this earthquake. This has been a particularly hard year. COVID-19 has shaken our lives and the world economy. In the case of Cuba, this has also meant having zero tourism, the main source of income for this island nation. Then there has been Trump finding new ways every week to enforce the sanctions. All of this creates pressure, not only in the government, which is in charge of dealing with the pandemic and maintaining the free education and health services. It creates pressure on every individual private sector worker not working because of COVID-19, and affects any family that had any kind of income from tourism. So why is the Cuban government doing this in such a complicated moment? Murillo said that this context has created such tension that the need to take decisive action to advance in the planned updating of the country's economic model cannot be postponed. He explained that if we are to change our economy, and it must change, this restructuring must be carried out. A lot has been done to protect families, but it is a shock, essentially because many subsidies will be removed, while other essential services like electricity will remain only partially subsidized, which means an increase in electric bills. At the same time, salaries will increase fivefold and the ration card will continue to exist with less subsidies, but assuring, for example, milk for small children completely subsidized by the state. The spokespersons for this process have said time and again that the aim is to ensure the smallest possible impact on those who make the least money, like many retired people, and also to distribute the country's wealth differently. It will not be an easy process, getting used to this new price system and buying everything in Cuban pesos. But in the long run, the purpose is to see Cuban enterprises thrive, finally emerge from managing a crisis, and give some oxygen to an economy that must reinvent itself. This is quite a complicated topic. We are not done here, but we'll come back to it at another point. So this is Cuba Today. The purpose here is to put in context what's going on in Cuba, so you make sense of what the media is talking about regarding this always misunderstood and manipulated Cuban reality. I am Cristina Escobar. I'll be here again telling you the story behind the news next Thursday. Thank you for listening.